So welcome to the Coaching Culture podcast series. Today, I'm joined by Corin Jeffrey. Corin is the lead for coaching, mentoring, and leadership development at Kinetic. For those who do not know Kinetic, I describe them as the James Bond of the defense sector. Corin is a senior learning and development specialist with substantial experience in leadership and advanced training technologies and techniques. She's experienced delivering bespoke and highly innovative solutions to underpin strategic objectives and business transformation. Along with this great experience, Corin has an extensive track record of commercial leadership of multi-million pound projects that deliver results in highly complex, dynamic, and technically challenging environments. Corin, welcome. It's a real pleasure to have you as a guest on this podcast.
Thank you, Tracy. Good morning. You know, looking forward to being here, actually, and to talking to you about what we're doing at Kinetic.
Brilliant. And there's lots to explore, I know. So if I may go straight into the first question, just to get clarity from yourself and give our listeners an understanding from your perspective around a coaching culture.
So for me, I think a coaching culture is something that is all pervading, but at the same time is quite hidden. So it's part and parcel of how you are, how you think, how you behave. It's about how you lead, how you manage. So it is an unconscious thing, you know, in that sense within an organization. That's what I mean by being perhaps slightly hidden. But it is just a way of being. It's a way of having a conversation. It's a style of connecting and interacting with your teams, your people, your peers, your stakeholders, your customers. That to me is what a coaching culture is.
Yeah. And I love that some of those terms, you know, sort of connecting and having different conversations.
Yes.
And for me, I think you read a lot of books where it complicates what a coaching culture is, and there's lots of theory and terms. But at the end of the day, it's about how individuals have a conversation, and they have those conversations every day in a coaching style. So as we know with coaching, listening and just connecting and collaborating together. I'm curious in the term hidden. Help me understand a little bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind.
So I suppose where I'm coming from here is that unconscious, you do it naturally. It's part and parcel of who you are, how you are at work. It's your business as usual. It's part of the DNA. It's part of what you do. And that's what I mean by hidden. It's become so unconscious, it's become such a habit for you that you do it naturally.
So it's how we do things around here, and it's just that's the norms, those are the cultural norms.
Yes. Yeah. and you know, that's where we're trying to get to in Kinetic. You know, Kinetic is a very technical, very engineering heavy organization, and often our leaders, our managers, our people, our stakeholders are really comfortable in talking about technical stuff and projects and you know, solutions and innovative solutions. That they're actually in that mode, they are demonstrating and using a lot of those skills that we're talking about. But when they come to perhaps the more human-to-human connection, for some reason, they find that perhaps slightly more difficult. So what we're trying to do is promote that different type of conversation. To help them understand that actually in some parts of what they're doing in their normal day-to-day, they're doing it very naturally. So this is just an extension of that skill and that way of being into other forms of what they need to do as a manager and as a leader.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing here, and I know this is probably an obvious thing to say, but creating a coaching culture is a cultural shift. So there's a transition of from two, and the two is having your word hidden but more natural conversations that are more connecting and collaborative as with two human beings or several human beings on that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the way I try and sort of enable more of that transition, if you like, is by saying, you know, it's a human to human connection first and foremost. Yeah. Be curious, be interested, you know, really sort of try and understand, seek to understand that individual that you're having a conversation with first and foremost, and everything else will naturally follow. But it is a transition. It is something that is different for our organization, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that word different is really important for me, because to try and get people to do things differently, I think is from my own experience, and I know you and I have had conversations with the project we're running, of that that's the biggest challenge. And how do we get people to operate differently? So what are the challenges you're identifying, and what are some of the interventions that you've been putting in place to help that shift?
So we have a number of challenges within and for our organisation. You know, our organisation is growing and continuing to grow. Our organisation is in a has a huge loyal workforce. There's a great legacy behind what we do within Kinetic, and people are very passionate and engaged in the type of work that we do, which is gives us a really great foundation. But we also are moving into new ways of work. COVID, you know, is a great example of upsetting the apple cart. We did adapt to that really, really well. But there are going to be more and more of those COVID-like challenges, changes, demands on us as an organisation. And what we are trying to enable are our leaders and our managers with a skill that helps them through such changes and doesn't overwhelm them, prepares them, doesn't add, you know, stress into the system, creates a level of resilience for them as individuals first and foremost, and then a level of resilience, I suppose, for the organization, if you like. And so what we're doing is we are, we've got a number of interventions, I suppose, that we are, currently in, implementing within Kinetic. So we've got a Leaders as Coaches program. We piloted that, and we're now moving into full implementation. And that creates small cohorts of our senior leaders that enables them to start to understand what a different conversation actually looks like and what it feels like, more importantly. And then on the other hand, what it feels like to have experienced having a different conversation with somebody, not only being the one to initiate it, but the one on the receiving end as well. And I think certainly within our organisation, the use of the term coaching feels a bit touchy-feely, a bit pink, a bit fluffy. You know, these are technical engineering scientists, you know, who like rational, logical conversations, and for them this is a little bit out of left field. Sure. And it can be a bit scary, but actually by experiencing it, by learning about it, and by doing it in a small cohort, we're creating an environment where they can support one another, they can understand what good looks like, they can understand what they need to practice, talk through how they are going to implement it in within their areas. So that's our Leaders as Coaches program, and that's starting with our leaders. So it's a top-down program in that sense.
And if I can just pick up on some of those points, because I think there's some really important points and some of the challenges I'm sure many of our listeners have in their own organizations. One of the things that I love about the Leaders as Coaches programs is that we've made it very relevant to their everyday ways of operating. It's not something on top of it. So as you say, bringing that alive in a very technical environment on those interventions, whether it be having conversations on a day-to-day basis, coaching their own teams, being coached by those within the community, and finding ways where they're more formal, like PDRs, etc., and bringing that into the everyday ways of operating. And I think that makes it then something that is manageable in a very busy, hectic environment.
Absolutely. Building it into our internal life cycle, if you like, those touch points that they have formally, as well as those informal touch points across the organisation, helps them understand that this is not yet another thing for them to do. Mm. It is this, you know, they're just doing it in the same way, but actually there will be so many more benefits for them in terms of the richness of the conversation, the empowerment of their teams and of their, you know, their peers and their customers and stakeholders. And that will create time for them. So there is a lovely way of doing it. So building it into that overall life cycle, using some scenarios to help them practice those different types of conversations that relate to other programs and interventions that Kinetic are doing also helps them understand the interconnectedness of a cultural change and the cultural shift that we're trying to enable.
Yeah. And I guess in simple terms, or making the skills that they're learning relevant to their day job and to the other strategic initiatives that Kinetic are pushing and developing as a business.
Absolutely. You know, these are individuals who are eager to learn, but, you know, creating the time to do that is often a challenge. So showing them how this is not just a one-off, how it's built into the process, the what they need to do as a leader, as you say, the other strategic sort of initiatives and priorities that they have is really important. They need to understand the benefit for them first and foremost.
Yeah. So relevant and something that works for them and adds value to them as an individual, not something extra they need to do on top of their day job.
Absolutely. That's really, really key for us, certainly within our organisation.
Fantastic. So leaders as coaches, one area, but what other areas are you implementing, Colin?
So we have an internal coaching and mentoring capability. They provide individual coaching. So again, and that is open to anybody in the organisation at any time and for however many repeat opportunities they would like. So that is providing support, a different way of talking to an individual, a different experience for that individual to help develop themselves, develop their skills, their strengths. So that is part of what we do within Kinetic. We also have a team coaching capability, and that is for our leadership teams, and that takes a leadership team and coaches them through and supports them through what they need to be thinking about as a team, how they work as a team, those interactions, those conversations, how they need, you know, their mindsets, their attitudes, their habits, their ways of working. And that, you know, because we're looking at teams, has a much greater impact than perhaps the individual coaching, but they're one of the same thing. We also have a mentoring program which uses some of the same coaching skills to help our individuals within our organization, either when they join the organization, to help them settle in, understand what's required of them, etc., in a more pacing, more effective time frame, if you like. So we're using our internal capability, to basically enable, through a variety of different touch points, and to role model what this different conversation looks like.
Yeah, I really like that. So there's lots of different interventions that are going on. So you've got the leaders as coaches to develop that as a natural way of operating as a leader around your life cycle and developing those different conversations over time. And then you've got this internal coaching capability that anybody can access if they don't feel it's relevant to go to their line manager for that coaching. And then senior leaders can access that coaching pool for team coaching. And then at key touch points, there's mentoring support to help transition people into the organization or wherever there might be that experience and knowledge required.
We're also doing what I call some lunch and learn stroke masterclasses. For our not only for our internal coaching community, but for our leaders. And delivered, I suppose, again, is another way of role modeling the different type of conversation that we're talking about. So this also enables them to think about what skills, what behaviours, some of the models that they might use in their interactions with their teams, some activities that they can do to help develop that human-to-human connection. So that's another way that we're interacting with our community. And the reason I mention that is because they are so technical. This knowledge bit, is so important to them. That learning about it is often the first step to them being advocates, to doing that role modeling, to developing that passion and that curiosity that actually, you know, it's at the heart of what we're talking about in this coaching culture.
And I think that's really clever in the way that you've done that, you know, tapping into that technologically minded individual to say, I've got the basic fundamental skills which the Leaders as Coach program provides, but when they see a challenge, an issue, an area they've got to focus on, you're giving them the right tools, the specific skills that they can then utilize to address that. So, and that helps, I guess, in building, maintaining momentum of having that different conversation. And they can see the value of making life easier for them with some of the challenges they face themselves and with their teams.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure you and I are both on the same page in terms of sustaining those skills. You know, it's all very well. The Leaders as Coaches program is a fantastic start, and they are immersed into a different environment and having different conversations for a period of, you know, 4 months. But they have to go back into the organization, and that organization has demands. It has specific ways of doing and being and behaving. And, you know, it's very easy to forget those new habits unless you keep practicing. And this is a way, these masterclasses, these lunch and learns, are a way in which helps keep that connection to us alive.
Yeah.
And helps them to explore what that might look like for themselves, what gives them an outlet for their curiosity, you know, to learn about, you know, the transactional analysis or whatever, and how that applies in a very safety conscious world that we've got, you know. So there's a lot of opportunities that we're trying to create for our employees to enable that coaching culture. And it just comes from different sort of sides and different ways and different mechanisms that they may not be alive to, but actually it's happening
around them. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's so important. We talked about this coaching culture as a cultural transition, which is, you know, I know it's a cliche, but a journey.
Yes.
And it's important, you know, to continue that journey and build that momentum towards having a different conversation. And I think that's ongoing. You never get to utopia where everybody's doing that. It's continuous because we're always learning. But I think the nice thing around this about building that momentum is that we're shifting from just it being a skill set to it being a mindset, which is going back to your point right at the beginning. That's how we do things. It's natural. And I get extra tools and different ideas for everyday challenges that come along that I can use that different approach. And I can see that it's adding value as part of my day-to-day business.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the other way that we as an internal capability are helping to speed up that transition, if you like, is by role modeling. So as coaches, you know, we're used to, you know, holding their mirror up to the organization, to individuals, to teams. And, you know, where I sit within the organization, it's about thought leadership. And it's about saying to the organization, these are some of the themes that we're seeing. This is what we're experiencing. This is what we're observing. And having and stimulating that debate and that dialogue with our leaders, with the board, to really help them, A, increase their awareness, but also to help them consider and address those things that are pertinent or that are happening, you know, for them within this organization. So I think that's another way that we are influencing, supporting, building that great foundation and discipline, actually, that you need for a coaching culture within our organization.
Yeah. Again, I think that's fantastic, because what you're part of your role in your team's role is to bring to the surface the insights of what's going on within the organization that may be stopping it from delivering in its best way the strategy, and helping them find ways to accelerate the execution by giving them those masterclasses or developing those coaching skills to have a different conversation around those key areas that may be holding the business back. And that feels so natural in its way and in its approach, and useful for people to use on a day-to-day basis, you know, to deliver on and add value to the role that they have.
Yeah, and that's part of what we're trying to do. You know, we're no different to any other organisation in the sense of there will always be, you know, there's a history, there's different types of barriers and blockers to things, to process. There's all sorts of things that's going to be generic to your listeners. And we've just found a way that connects with the type of individual that we have in our organization, that doesn't scare them too much, but leads them gently into a way which is much, much more effective for them and for the organization at the end of the day, which is why we're doing it.
Yeah. And I guess the bit that hasn't scared them and made it more gentle for them is showing how it can support them and make them even more successful in the roles they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, and I think it's success is one thing, and I think absolutely, you know, that is what we need as an organisation. But I think also it is about helping them do their job, their role, in a way in which is easier for them. Because sometimes, you know, it can be a slog, can't it? You know, you've got lots of things you've got to do. You've got lots of demands on your time. You're doing your best as much as you possibly can, but perhaps maybe thinking there's more that I could be doing. And so you're in this, eternal sort of conversation with yourself, and this is yet another way to help you break out of that and give you a little bit more of your purpose and being able to implement that and what you want to do. And I think that's at the power of what we're doing, more than just the success.
Yeah, that's a really nice point. So they're enjoying more of the journey because it's more purposeful. And you say it's making having those different conversations makes them doing their role easier and hopefully more enjoyable as well.
Yeah.
And on a practical level, Corinne, one of the things that people will say to me, leaders will say to me, is that I seem to have so much more time. People don't keep coming to me and asking me how to do it because they then go away and think for themselves. And I'm just there as a sort of facilitator, a guide. So I'm able to wear more of my coaching or leadership hat rather than my management hat in sort of telling them what to do and having to think for them. So not only more enjoyable and easier, hopefully just having that more leadership space to think, you know, and enjoy that moment.
And I think space is the key word here, because we can always fill our space and our time, can't we? And it's really sitting back and thinking about how best to use that space. And often we get into this habit, don't we, of just answering the questions because it's quicker. But actually, that isn't breaking through and doing something different. That isn't enabling movement forwards, if you like. So choosing when and how best to use that sort of coaching style as a leader, as a manager, really helps you do much more, I would suggest, of the leadership element of things, the inspirational stuff, the empowerment, the guidance, the direction, enabling that resilience and development in your team and those around you. And I think that's where our leaders really start to feel that increased value and purpose in what they're doing. That's where they get their enjoyment from.
Yeah. And the outcome of that, from my experience, is that it makes ways of working more sustainable for them.
Yes, and we talked, didn't we, about resilience of the not only of the individual, but of the organisation. And I think that is a key contributor to that resilience. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Many of our listeners will say, yep, we completely buy into this. We love it. You know, we totally agree. There's some brilliant ideas there. I'm sure they'll be saying that. One of the other questions they might be asking is, how do you know it works? And how have you measured it? And what are you using to say that this is the difference and that it's actually showing up?
It's a great question. It's a, you know, perennial question, isn't it, in L&D as to how we definitively show cause and effect. And that's really, really hard. Yep. And I think for something like coaching, it is we also need to consider the felt experience. And that's really quite difficult to put a number to or an impact on. But notwithstanding that, what we've tried to do within our organisation, yes, we've looked at numbers, you know, so how many individuals attend, come for coaching, what the demand and what we call the pull for our team coaching or our individual coaching. That's a key indicator for us, because what we don't do, and there's only myself and one other, we talk about team, but there's only me and one other. We don't do marketing. We don't, you know, go out there and sell our wares in that sense to the organization. So this is all on a pull basis. So we measure the demand. We look at the referrals and the champions that follow through from that, those people who come back and want to do more.
Yep.
We look at the momentum of the community. And what I mean by that is we have an internal coaching community, but outside of that, I have what I would call our advocates, our people that have connected in some way to what we're doing, and the growth of that and the referrals and things that come through that and the ideas and things that they come up with. Wouldn't it be great too? So that's another way of measuring it. We also look at, certainly on our leaders as coaches, we have a quarterly engagement survey. And that covers all types of different elements of engagement. But there are developmental, growth, value, purpose type questions within that engagement. And we look at the impact of the on that engagement score for those teams, for those individuals that go through the Leaders as Coaches program. And generally, it goes up. Yeah. And generally, it is sustained, you know, in that way. So that is a great organisational measure that the organisation values inherently. So what we try and do in terms of measure and validate, you know, is it working over and above our reviews and our internal sort of, you know, continuous improvement, is we tap into those things that the organisation is already measuring. We tap into the felt stuff and we tap into the demand, I suppose, if you like. So if I was to sort of, you know, try and categorize it, that's how I would try and do it. So that's what we do.
So I love that way of measuring. Is it building momentum? Are people finding this useful and wanting, you know, as you say, the advocates shouting, the ambassadors, the champions of it,
yes,
to build up that momentum? And then where they are using it, is it having an impact on their quarterly employee engagement scores? And as you said, most areas, yes, it is. And the lovely word that I like there is it's sustainable. It's not just a one-off hit.
Yes.
So they're continuing to use it, which is that pull and that sort of continuing that momentum. I'm sure the masterclasses support that as well.
Yeah. And that sort of, you know, that sort of immediate response to what you're doing is quite addictive, you know, in some ways. If you see your score going up, actually, and that is a great thing. It is valued, as I say, by the organisation. So you as a leader, having an increasing engagement score, it's building on success, and it's a rolling success, and it looks after itself. And that is a powerful motivator, I would suggest, for our leaders and our managers. Yeah.
And it's certainly with other organizations that we work with, Corinne, it's a key measure, you know, the employment engagement pulse survey, yes, whatever organizations call it, that gives a real reflection on the effectiveness of that leader with his or her team. And some organizations will even share that, so it sort of comes public, so it starts to come a little bit competitive, which then drives more attitude that I want to be better. And which coaching is all about. That's great.
Yes, absolutely.
The other half, and I know with yourselves, we haven't really sort of addressed this, but I'm curious into your thoughts, is around the development of coachability and the coachee rather than developing the leader as a coach or creating an internal coaching pool. In my view, and I'm very strong about this, is that coaching is like a dance and it needs two people to dance. So your thoughts on how to develop coachability and those that are going to be coached to be able, you know, to be willing, ready and able to be coached.
So I think language is really important here. So as soon as, you know, a leader says, what I want to do is I want to coach you, you know, that sort of turns off.
Feel like I'm being done too.
Yes. Language is really, really important first off. So my advice to our leaders is not to sort of announce I'm going to be coaching you now, but it is sort of saying, you know, I'd like to try a different way, a different style, and have a different type of conversation, and just simply use those words.
Yeah.
The second point for our leaders is, because we are such a location diverse organization, is often those conversations are happening either on the phone or they're happening virtually. It's very rare now that we have one-to-one face-to-face conversations. And you can get very easily into a habit of, and again, a way of being using a virtual medium, can't you? So what we're asking our leaders to do is frame the conversation and introduce the conversation in a different way. Secondly, is to use their mediums that they're already doing, but to open up that conversation again in a different way by using, you know, what we call a check-in, but a different type of check-in. And also, we ask our leaders to think carefully about who they try and start to have these different conversations with from the get-go. They need to be able to to understand their team and those individuals within their team and really connect with those individuals who want to be developed, who really are quite eager, have perhaps a slightly different mindset. So, you know, great diversity within the team. But I go back to, we have a very technical base of our people. And so really choosing those individuals to start practicing your skill with is so, so important. My advice is not to go, you know, if you have a team of 8 or 9 or whatever, do it to all of them, because they're all different and they will all need a different style anyway. And it's that choice that actually is quite important. And even the term coachability makes me, you know, a little bit like, oh, sorry, am I being molded? So I think, you know, how that's introduced is so, so important. And that's something that we are trying our best to help our leaders and our managers. And I would suggest we haven't got it quite right yet. And that is something that is on my list of things to think about.
But I love it that you're thinking about it. And I love the way that you're looking to use leaders, managers as the sort of the communication channel, because they will know their people best and they will be the people to educate and engage in a way that they know will work for them, and do it in a, I guess, an informal way, and making it part of, you know, that those conversations and embracing that definitely. And some people won't want to engage with it, which is fine. And those leaders will know that. So, you know, and then just supporting leaders as like a communication channel to be able to do that in their own way. No, I think that's great.
And I'm a great fan of analogies and metaphors. And within our team, we've been working on, well, what is the analogy or metaphor that we can use that will connect to even more people you know, tickle that curiosity, if you like. So that's something that we're thinking about. We've got a diagram of an aeroplane. You know, it's a defense organization. So an aeroplane connects to a lot of our workforce. And well, what does that mean about the wings? And how do you use the pilot? And how do you use the rudder? And if you put it within that context, that helps us connect with our technical people in a way in which, as soon as you say the word coaching, perhaps doesn't. So it's finding that right language that, to me, is so, so important, not only to open that door initially, but then to keep that door open.
Yeah. And continue to make it relevant to their day job and to the things they're doing on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, no, I love that. So some really good ideas. Are there any other ideas, thoughts, learnings that you've gained from the work you've done that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So I think that having a sponsor, and a sponsor with authority and gravitas, is really, really important. Mm-hmm. So we have a sponsor who sits on the board. And why is that important? A, because they understand what you're trying to do. B, they can use their power and their authority to continue those conversations, but again, in a different way with their style, with their, you know, peers and their colleagues. But also, with their authority, can initiate some of these journeys to give it a go, to start it, because without that high-level sponsorship, getting started is really, really hard sometimes. Yeah. So you need both ends. You need somebody like me, and you need somebody like, you know, a high-level sponsor who has, as I say, power and authority as well as budget, to help create that movement, that journey from, you know, to start it, I will help sustain it, and to create that those opportunities, I suppose.
Yeah, And you've done a brilliant job in getting that sponsorship. And again, I know our listeners will be saying, how did you do that? Because that's one of the challenges I face. So how did you, what are some of the things you did to get that senior level buy-in, Corin?
So I was really lucky, and luck does come into it,
sure.
In that my sponsor was a qualified coach themselves. So they understood what it was and the value, and you know what it felt like and experienced coaching, and they were using it throughout their career as a valuable tool. So that was almost like, you know, manna from heaven. It fell into my hands. What I then did was make sure that I had a regular catch up with them. So this was on a monthly basis, which was an amazing opportunity for me in their very, very time constrained diary. Yeah. But it showed the value to me of their interest and their support in terms of coaching. And what we would do within those catch ups is to debate, chew the card, innovate, brainstorm, and then we could turn it into something. So that was really, really important. And then what they did was help me generate my network. So a little bit more of a background in terms of myself. So I was part of the technical organization, and it was only until 3 years ago that I, having become a qualified coach, etc., I moved into this role. So I have a very good technical, high level leadership network anyway, but they knew me as Corin, the technical person. Now, yep. Corin, the lead for coaching and mentoring and leadership development, was somebody sort of quite different. So my sponsor enabled me to join those two networks up and introduce me in a different way to what people perhaps had experienced me before. So that was really useful. And I would suggest creating that network outside of the L&D people HR departments is really, really important, because you can get quite isolated if you stay within that sort of department. So I think that's really what's made the difference for me personally, as well as for this organization. Unfortunately, my sponsor has just left the organization, so I now need to find another one.
Yeah.
And that is going to be an interesting journey for me, because I haven't had to do that before. As I say, luck was on my side.
Yeah.
So I'll come back and tell you
how it's gone.
Yes.
Great. But I guess the key thing here that I'm hearing is you've got it started. You've created momentum. And hopefully those advocates, those champions that are going through the program and experience it and seeing the value for them, will be that momentum that keeps it going. And obviously the return on the investment to show that it's working for the pulse surveys, etc. So hopefully you're creating enough momentum there to do that.
Absolutely.
Is there any other learning that you've had in the 3 years and developing this brilliant approach that you've got and certainly starting to get traction with a coaching culture that you'd want to just share and give our listeners an understanding of things to be aware of?
I think you have to be quite resilient yourself. I think you have to have, you know, really put a focus on the passion that you have for coaching. And to in some instances, not take no for an answer. Just keep going.
Be persistent.
Be persistent. Seek out those advocates, because you know they really help encourage you, lift you, etc. But you have to be the one that moves it forward. So you have to be creative. You have to be innovative. You have to be persistent, and you have to be able to inspire. I think you have to be the role model. The other thing I would suggest is is, you know, I for the first 3 years of this role, it was just me, and I now have another member of the team. Because it was just me, it forced me to ask for help and support and to use that informal network to influence in a way in which perhaps if I had a team, I wouldn't have had to have done in this, you know, to the same extent. So I think recognizing that and being, you know, being resilient, being persistent, believing actually in what you are doing takes you a long, long way.
Well, Corin, it is brilliant that you've continued with that persistence, that creativity, innovation and determination to really make a difference. And certainly the work we're doing with you, we're seeing that difference. And I'm sure your leaders are also noticing that as well. But sadly, time's got the better of us.
Gosh.
But before we close up, I ask all my guests one simple question. And that question is, at Coaching Focus, we have a very simple purpose, and that is coaching for a better tomorrow. So from your perspective, what does coaching for a better tomorrow mean to you?
Gosh, what a great question. So I think I would say, I would respond in two ways to that. So coaching for a better tomorrow from at an organisational perspective means that we, as an organisation, as a business, stay ahead. We are adaptable, we are flexible, we enable that resilience as a business. I think the other way I would interpret that is about giving our people a way of, and I keep going back to this different conversation, that is much more enjoyable for them, is much more rewarding, helps them when they go home at the end of the day, ask themselves, what difference have I made today? They've got a great answer to that question. And I, you know, so there's a very personal bit for me, as well as obviously a business organizational element to that question.
Great. I think those are two great answers and two great areas to focus on. And certainly Coaching Focus, we see those things as around coaching for a better tomorrow. So Corin, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And I'm sure our listeners are taking a lot from your experience and your learnings.
No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thoroughly enjoyed it.